are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Another edition of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Matt Derry with you on this Thursday, July 16th, and a Friday, July 17th, our final day of the NFC Division crossover. And finally, we get to talk about your Detroit Lions. You will hear the opinion of the Lions and what folks from Locked On Packers, Peter Bukowski, Locked On Bears, Lauren Cox, Locked On Vikings, Lucas Braun, all think of the Lions. Many national folks like this football team and what's going to happen in 2020 if we have a season. But the ultimate NFC division, NFC North division crossover today as we wrap it up right here on the very program. Again, Matt Derry with you. Thank you for listening and joining us today. You can follow me on Twitter when my Twitter starts working again. Oh my goodness, I've been shut down for 2 days because apparently I have a blue check mark, and the minute I saw some what appeared to be articles and stories about alleged hackers out there, I changed my password, which I guess was a big mistake because now I'm locked out. But I'm at Derry Speaks. Find the podcast at Locked On Lions and also the Matt Derry Facebook fan page. I want to get into pass rush and some numbers that Pro Football Focus has published recently about last year, which are very, very concerning, to say the least, when talking about the Lions. When it comes to rushing the passer. By the way, I got to give a quick shout out, though, to my pal Deborah Guthrie. I don't know if you live, if any of our listeners here at this present time right now listening are in Meridian Township, Ingham County, Okemos, Hazlitt, East Lansing residents. But Deborah Guthrie's a friend, and she's running for township clerk up there in Meridian Township. So she's an awesome, awesome person. So shout out to Deborah Guthrie. Best of luck soon, excuse me, as she runs for township clerk up there in Meridian Township. She would do a fantastic job. All right, what didn't happen last year and who didn't do a fantastic job was the Lions front four and a lot of times front three. When you take a look at pressuring the quarterback, and we're going to talk next week about Jamie Collins getting some love from ESPN of being a top 10 linebacker, which is unbelievable to me. But Pro Football Focus put these numbers out. The lowest percentage of pressures that resulted in sacks last season. They dig deep into these numbers. They rank the teams by percentage of pressures that, again, resulted in sacks. It's all percentage. Do you know which team had the lowest percent of pressures that actually got to sacks? The Lions. 14%. Seattle was in at 14.4%, Miami 14.5%, on down the list. Texans 14.5% as well. The Lions pass rush, this from Pro Football Focus, is one of the least effective units in the NFL last season for two reasons. First, they didn't get pressure at a high rate, as their 29.2% pressure rate was third worst in the NFL, 30th. Also, they converted those pressures into sacks at the lowest rate in the league. Again, just 14%. And we could talk all about the weapons, and we had that discussion earlier in the week, and Matthew Stafford being healthy, and that's going to be a big key. But who's going to get to the quarterback? And is it the players I'm listing, or is it this scheme? Is Matt Patricia going to stop rushing three and dropping eight? And are we going to see some real pressure this year? Again, if we play. Are we going to see some real pressure? Is Romeo Okwara going to bounce back from last year's season where, quite honestly, you didn't know he was on the field? Trey Flowers, mediocre in my opinion, for a guy making the kind of money they paid him, $18 million a year. 8.5 sacks, I'd like to see more. Julian Okwara is a rookie. They're expecting a lot out of from a third-round pick. I like the pick. Deshaun Hand barely played last year. That's a huge, huge key right there. Can Deshaun Hand be healthy and put him inside, put him outside, and he gets the job done? I'm interested in watching what Austin Bryant does. Last year's fourth-round pick, who barely sniffed the field last year because of injury. He was a fourth-round pick in 2019. Came out of Clemson. Can he get to the quarterback? He better. You know, Jayshon Cornell was a seventh-round pick. They drafted, they picked up Nick Williams in free agency. I know those pluggers in the middle like Danny Shelton, Nick Williams, John Atkins, John Pennacini, Kevin Strong. Those are kind of big bodies that take up space mostly against the run. But those guys, especially if they go with that three-man rush crap again, have got to get to the quarterback. Got to find a way to beat double teams. And then the wild card, of course, as I mentioned before, Jamie Collins. Will he be standing at the on the edge, ready to rush the passer? Will that be his role, especially on passing downs? Because he can cover people out of the backfield. He can cover tight ends, which we know is a huge problem for the Lions linebackers. But as we also know, the Lions aren't exactly going to tell you everything they're going to do with each player. So that's a huge wild card too. But man, those numbers are nasty, aren't they? Ugly numbers. 14% getting to the quarterback and getting sacks. That's brutal. Worst in the league. You gotta hope that in week one when they play the Bears, they're sending more than three, especially in passing downs. I know that's the system. I know it's the Patricia scheme. But wouldn't it be nice to have a vaunted pass rush? Semi-vaunted, we'd take. All right, the division crossover, ultimate NFC North division crossover comes up next. We got to tell you, though, about our friends at rockauto.com. Looking for auto parts? Not sure what to do about issues that you're having with your car? And right now, in this COVID culture that we're in, I don't want to be going into a store, putting on a mask, and if I don't have to. That's the beauty of going on the web and staying home and ordering it right from your computer at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics, do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. They're a family business. They serve auto parts customers online for 20 years. Just go to their website, RockAuto.com, and shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of different manufacturers. They've got everything. New carpet, motor oil, tail lamps, brake parts, engine control modules, and it's delivered right to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Go to the website, rockauto.com. It's rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Our day four, Locked On Lions, Locked On Podcast Network, the division crossover, NFC North. We're talking to Lauren Cox, Locked On Bears, Luke Braun, Locked On Vikings, and of course, Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers, as we kind of take a look at what's ahead for these teams within the division. Appreciate you guys joining me here today. And obviously, when you look at the Lions, we've had these discussions over the last few days that people believe the team is going to be better this year. It can't get much worse than three wins last year and 12 losses and a tie. But it starts, at the top of the division, Pete, with the Packers and having to knock off Green Bay, something the Lions had a chance to do last year twice. And we're in both games, including kind of a meaningless game for the Lions in week 17. But you go back to that Lambeau Field heartbreaker and everything else. But from a Packers perspective, how do you view what's going on in Detroit?
Well, I mean, I think the Packer fans are enjoying any and all dunks on Matt Patricia. That's just going to be par for the course. If you're going to make posture jokes, if you're going to make, he's got a laminated play sheet that he writes on it with a pencil somehow, we're here for all of those jokes. And like Luke said, I don't think you have to be a Packer fan for that to be true. But I do think there is a little bit of uneasiness anytime these two teams play, just based on what has happened over the last few years. And I know that it's the case that, okay, Deshaun Kizer played in some of those games and Brett Hundley played in the games 2 years ago. And so you can say, oh, well, the Lions and the Packers, here's the record over X number of games. But there's just no way around it. The Packers struggled to beat David Blau last year. And although they played much better in the second half of that Monday night game, they didn't come out prepared in the first half and needed some miracle calls and some miracle plays from Aaron Rodgers and Alan Lazard, who at the time was a relative unknown. If any fan base can believe that the Lions are a little bit underrated, I think it's the Packers for those reasons. Matthew Stafford is perpetually underrated as a talent and as a player. Can he be reliable? I don't know. But if he's playing and Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones and all those guys are healthy, this offense can be scary. The Packers have had issues even when the Lions have not been full strength defensively, scoring against the Lions. Does no Darius Slay materially impact that, considering Devontae Adams has really owned him the last few years? I don't know. So I think there is a little bit more of a fear factor. You know, we talked on the show about the Packers, you know, that the Lions couldn't beat the Packers forever. And ever since that's changed, I do think the fear factor has increased for Packer fans when they go into a matchup with the Lions.
What about the Vikings, Lucas? You look at where Minnesota is right now, and we've talked about my liking for that organization and kind of the consistency that they've had, but, you know, you have some Matt Patricia jokes as well.
Of course. I mean, Peter ran the gambit, but I mean, I've never liked the Matt Patricia hiring from day one. I always thought it was, I mean, he had like one of his worst years in New England leading up to it. I always thought it was the Lions falling for a grift. Honestly, I think his scheme is innovative, but honestly, it very clearly hasn't worked. The idea of like 3-man rush, drop 8 in coverage, do this crazy weird man match thing it just requires so much out of your defensive line, and the Lions just, I don't think, have the horses right now to execute that. And I think losing Darius Slay and replacing with a rookie, I view it very similarly to the Vikings losing Stephon Diggs and replacing him with a rookie. He'll be good, like Jeffrey Okuda. I love Jeffrey Okuda. I think he's going to be a great cornerback, but to expect him to be Darius Slay right off the bat would be kind of insane. So yeah, I think that the way that organization has been run in the last few years, I mean, I don't know, if I were a Lions fan, I would definitely not be happy with it.
It's interesting because I think in Detroit, certainly the Slay thing was just, it was inevitable. And he's, you know, he was a special talent, a very good player, wanted to get paid, just didn't fit the whole Patriot way thing. We talked about, the guys spout off on Twitter and hop on that app, as we like to say. You know, it's whether it's Quandre Diggs, Snacks Harrison, Graham Glasgow, T.J. Lang over the years, Golden Tate, Eric Ebron, Slay. The guys that are active on social media, they all get shipped out of town. So,
you know, that's awful.
From the standpoint of playing,
your culture
right,
ships good players out of town, and your culture sucks.
Right. No, and that's an issue.
Unless your culture is set by Bill Belichick, because that's a thing Bill Belichick does too.
Right.
He got Randy Moss in and got good years out of him, you know? Like, Bill Belichick does not ship like good players out of town, at least without getting good compensation for them.
Problem is that the Lions feel like they are the Patriots of the Midwest with how they are structured, how they want to do things, and they're not. I mean, the Patriot way, you know, take Belichick and Brady out of it, not much of a way. And the Lions don't have a Belichick or a Brady. You know, Lauren, it's funny. Everybody believes in Detroit that the worst the team will do is third, meaning that the Bears would be behind them this year, and that, you know, even with an 8-8 season last year, that Chicago now is catapulting down from obviously 2 years ago. What's your take on that when you look at Detroit and Chicago right now?
Well, I'm definitely in the group that looks at what Matthew Stafford was doing last season before he was injured and really feel like he was maybe the best quarterback in the division through the first 8 games in terms of production at that time. I know he was only, what, like 3-4, and there's a tie in there, I think. But I really thought like he was on the cusp of something, even if they didn't right have everything great around him. So I'm of the belief that Lions will definitely be better next season. But I don't know. I think it'll be tight in that battle for last place, right? I mean, I think the Lions are going to be in this division competition, at least for some portion of the season, if they can get some of their stuff together. I'm envisioning the Bears not being too different from where they were this past season. I don't think they're going to take any bigger step backs from where they were, but I'm not sure that they're going to get back to a full-on playoff spot just yet. So I'm expecting somewhere in that 7-9 win range. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Lions crept back closer to that same win range if Matthew Stafford is healthy and able to play close to a full season at close to the same level that he was doing last year. I really thought that made such a big difference for them when the quarterback position really hit the fan. So, you know, I think it's, I'm not quite ready to say, well, the Lions are definitely going to be third, but I think I can certainly see a scenario where things don't pan out that well for the Bears and where Stafford continues to kind of pick up where he was last season and do a lot of great things in spite of everything else struggling around them.
Where do you guys have Stafford ranked? You know, ESPN says he's a top 10 quarterback, had him at number 10, and something I'm going to bring up or I brought up on the show last week. What do you guys think? Pete, I'll start with you.
Oh, top 10. I mean, I think the numbers are sort of arbitrary, but do I think he's a really good quarterback? Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I could honestly name nine guys that I would take over Stafford. If we're just talking about, you know, I know I'm going to get him for a game. It's this question that I keep coming back to. Is he healthy? I mean, Bill Simmons used to call him Matt Stafford if he can stay healthy, and that should be his full name, because that has just always been the caveat with him. The years that he has been healthy and had help, like he had a 5,000 yard year. He was off to a really good start. He was the best quarterback in the NFC North in the games that he played last year. And part of that is because Kenny Galladay is really good. Marvin Jones is really good. You're going to get TJ Hockenson back. And now you add in DeAndre Swift to a backfield with Kerryon Johnson. And I think, you know, there are a lot of pieces to be excited about with this offense, even if the offensive line probably still leaves some to be desired. I have some questions about the offensive play calling and the design, although I like a lot of it. So I think Matthew Stafford is really good, and he would be the reason above all else that I think that they can be a 7-8-9 win team this year, even if I don't think their defense is very good.
Are we all in agreement, sort of the, if we power ranked the four NFC North quarterbacks, Rodgers, Stafford, Cousins, and then whoever starts in Chicago?
We did this last time out, and Stafford was the guy that I think most people picked, actually.
I don't know what I feel on that, but let's talk about it tomorrow.
That's probably a good idea to save it.
Wow. All right. I mean, I think that nice Bill Simmons reference, by the way, there, Pete, because I wonder if he has Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson in his top 10. Sorry, that was way too easy.
No.
Do we leave that in or edit that out? All right, so,
this is an open mic night, Matt.
But it's funny because in Detroit with Stafford, it's you know, there are some fans that go, he's been here 11 years. We haven't won anything. There were fans that wanted them to trade a down or take Tua at three on draft night and just start over. And not starting over when you have a GM in year five and a coach in year three that you're paying for the next few years. You're not doing that. So, but there were fans here that would have rather had Tua and kind of started over and ship Stafford out. But this ownership group, I don't think they're ever going to ship Stafford out. I think he's going to be here as long as he wants to be here.
There's a difference, I think, between wanting Stafford shipped out and saying, it's over, it's time, be like the Chargers with Rivers, and wanting to be opportunistic when you had the third overall pick, right? And like everybody and their mother kind of knew that you were going to go with Okuda, replace Darius Slay and all that. But I definitely sympathize with the idea that, yeah, Stafford has been there since 2009, and they've only made the playoffs a handful of times, never won a game and all that. But I don't know. There is a point at which the jersey is more powerful than you. Like the Lions organization and all of the tumultuous things that have happened there in the last decade, huge, huge part of that is not really Stafford's fault. And I think when we're evaluating the quarterback, we kind of have to take that into account. Like, yeah, the offensive line has been crap, and then he gets the crap beat out of him, and then he gets injured a bunch, and then he can't play healthy. Like, I don't think we need to overcomplicate it or pretend that that's not a factor here. But I definitely also sympathize with, you had a chance to draft Tua Tagovailoa, and if he's in the Pro Bowl in the next few years and, you know, the Dolphins end up having like a big turnaround with him, yeah, I could totally see looking back on that decision with a little bit of regret, even if Okuda turns out well.
We'll see. I think fans are excited about him, and I think the draft went really well for the Lions. But again, it's just a matter of enough depth. And as Peter said, can they get stops? You know, the offense is going to be fine. But if they can get to some stops, they'll win some of these close games that they lost last year. Fellas, appreciate it. There's Lauren Cox from the Bears, Luke Braun from the Vikings, Peter, of course, with Locked On Packers, as we wrap up this crossover for Locked On Lions on this day 4.